earthly father. He may be deceased, passed on, or maybe with you, maybe somewhere else, but we know that you have had a earthly father. Now, if you're not saved, you do not have a heavenly father. You have a creator. You have a creator. I pray that before you leave this place, each and every one of us can say that I have a earthly and also a heavenly father, because we know that you have a earthly father. But having a heavenly father, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you might be able to call him Abba Father, not just a creator. So we thank you here this day to give Jesus Christ the honor of this day, and also our fathers and our husbands and the whole family. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 21 and on down, we're going to be talking about the family, and especially the fathers. I thank the Lord so very much for this message that he allowed me, Lord, to read and to put together, and I would pray that he would allow me to preach this message as he preached it to me. As I put it together, it took me a while because of the importance of this message. And I did not put it together without tears, without sadness, and without sorrow, and also without happiness in these scriptures. And it's the men, or the man that wins God's way. I know that all of us want to have a successful family, do we not? The Bible is God's plan for the man. This is God's word. A lot of time preachers get talked about for what they preach. When they preach out of the word of God, I'm telling you that it's not my word, it's God's word. A lot of things that people don't like and understand about the message, and they don't like and understand about the word of God. I'm just an errand boy. I just carry the news. It's not my news. It's God's news. And I want to tell it like it is. Father's Day, as I think about Father's Day, and I also think about myself, if you're a father here today and you think about yourself, and I have made a lot of mistakes as being a father. If there's a father here this hour who has never made mistakes raising your family, I'd like for you to stand up this hour. I'd like to see you if you never made no mistakes. Or if there's a husband this hour has never made mistakes, I'd like for you to stand up. I'd like to see that man has never made mistakes of being a husband. You see, we all make mistakes. We all failed. I didn't see anybody standing because I was saddened to think about how many times in my life that I have failed as a father and failed as a husband. But the Lord has forgiven me, and he's helped me with the word of God to guide. I'm not here to tell you this morning of what I think about a family. I'm here to tell you what God says about a family. And it's not, as I said, it's not my word. A father went into a shoe store and asked the shoe salesman that he wanted a size 8 shoe. As the shoe salesman looked at him and looked at his feet, he said, "Sir, you need at least a 10 or either 11. The man says, "I want a size 8. So the shoe salesman brought the man out a size 8, but he also asked him why. He said, "Well," he says, "I've lost my house to the IRS. I'm living with my mother-in-law. My daughter just ran off with my best friend, and my business is in Chapter 7, and the only pleasure that I get is come home and pull off my shoes." There's a difference between father and dads. I wonder how many great men, as I was thinking about this, was born in the United States of America. Throughout the history of our country, how many great men has been born in the United States of America? And the answer is none. None. No man has been born, has been great in the United States, just babies, and they had to grow into manhood. They was born a male, but you have to grow as a man. Hear me, men, today, and hear me, fathers. You have to grow as a man and grow as a father. I like to go back and read some old history, and especially if you go into Cracker Barrel sometimes, you see some old dates, what happened back in 19 so-and-so and so-and-so, and it's always interesting to me. And I was reading a little article there. It says, in 1900... a father that put a roof over his family head was considered a good father. Today, it says, a man has to put a roof over a house, a four-car garage, a swimming pool, and a car in each place. It also says that in 1900s that a lot of times the father would pass on down his shoes and his clothes to his family. It says that today none of his family would be caught in those old rags. In 1900, a father would come home from work and find his children and his wife ready, sitting down at the table ready for supper. Today, a father comes home and he finds that Jim's at ball and Jill's at dancing and the wife is shopping and the pizza in the fridge. A great change has happened in our country in these few years. One father is more than 100 schoolmasters in the family, according to God's word. Very sad thing is happening in our country in America is the dropout dads we have had in the future, in the past, I mean. U.S. never will be right until the home is right. And I can tell you here this hour, by the authority of the Word of God, our homes will never be right until the man gets right with God. James Dobson, the Focus on the Family, he said the United States is at a crossroad in history. Survival depends upon the presence or either the absence of masculine leadership in the home. And the key is, the biggest reason for failures in a home is deadbeat dads and dropout fathers. Let's look at the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Submit yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And ye fathers, chapter 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Then it says in Psalms 128 and 4, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. Proverbs 12 and 2 says, a good man attains favor of the Lord, but a man of wickedness device will be condemned. Proverbs 12 and 3 says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of righteousness shall not be moved. Let us go in the Lord of prayer again, please. Father Jesus, we thank you for this honor this day. Father, for a day has been set aside that we might honor our earthly fathers, and Lord, the husbands, and Father, especially the ones that's here this day. But Father, we want to honor you, because without honoring you, we cannot honor our fathers. And we thank you, Lord, this day for each person that's here, and for the message, God, that's for the hour for every one of us, not just for the fathers and not just for the husband, but for everybody that's in the family, the wife, the mothers, the children, the grandparents this day, and that is to honor our Heavenly Father. We want to thank you for our families, Lord, especially that my family, I want to thank you for, and Father, it should be on the hearts of every person in this building this hour, is our head or bow, that they might be able to say, thank you, Lord, for the family, Lord, that you allow me to be part of. Lord, we want to thank you now, God, for the blessings, Lord, that we take for granted of our families. And the greatest love that we can have is for Jesus Christ to help us love our families as we should. And Father, we know your holy word teaches us that family here on this earth should be a little corner of heaven. And we pray this day, God, that you might help every family member here today to go back home and make their home a little corner of heaven. Here on this earth, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege again this day, for the precious Word of God, for the power of the Holy Spirit of God that seeks lodgment in our heart to let us understand, to know, and to grow in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you again in the holy and precious name. Amen. and amen. A young Jewish boy lived in Germany, and his father, that he loved so dear, he was his idol, and he hung on to every word that his father said. But his father really moved to another part of Germany where there was no synagogues. And he is raised to worship in the synagogues where he is raised up to worship the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. Faith was a corner part and also the center part of that family. But when they moved to another town in Germany, it did not have a synagogue. The father said that we're going to change religion. The young boy didn't know what to think about that, but he asked the father why. And he says, well, it's good for business. Well, the boy grew up. When he got grown, he moved to England, and he developed a worldview. It was a little different than it was when he raised as a child. The view was that evident that it came to two, that it dominated, this view dominated one half of the world. And he wrote a book about communism, and his name was Karl Marx, the father of communism. He learned from his father that religion, he said, was just like opium to people, and God really is not important. This father, this one fatal decision this father made, caused bloodshed across the world, death to millions of people, nations in ruin, World War I and World War II, because of one father's fatal decision not to seek out God and to follow God. In this United States, there is a lot of people, a lot of fathers, has made a bad decision for their family. They did not care about the things of God. I also say in our community, and also probably in our church, there's mothers and fathers that's making bad decisions for their families. And there the family is, they're telling their children that God really does not matter. And they're telling their children that God does not matter because sports matters, ball matters, pleasure matters, jobs matters, material things matters, but God really does not matter. A fatal, 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 fatal problem in the family when this is arise. Family resembles either a sand dune or a sculpture. A sand dune is blowed by culture. It finds no fixed or it finds no stabilization. But a sculpture, as you see a great sculpture, is shaped by influence. It has a purpose and a principle as Christ and the Bible and church. Father, husbands, responsibility is on you to take the spiritual authority in the home and in the family. It's the word of God to every one of us today. It's men and fathers. You may not like it. You may not understand it. God says that is your position. You must stand where God calls you to stand. Here this day, God has a plan for the man out of the word of God. His first plan is he is to love his family. That is God's plan for the man, to love your family. There are basic four types of love. There's manipulating love, as we all know what that does. There's love that you try to buy with money. There's conditional love. I'll do this if you do this. But the love that Jesus Christ is talking about in this word here is sacrificial love. And it is illustrated by a heavenly love for each and every one of us in the family. In verse 25, here is a command. Husband, love your wife. When I get a chance to counsel to young people that's fixing to get married, this is what I tell them. Husband, fixing to be. It is a command of God, not your feelings, not your attitude, but you, sir, it is command of God that you love your wife. Every husband in this building this hour, I want to tell you what, this is a command of God that you love your wife. You might say, what if? God did not say what if in his word of God. He said, you are commanded. Husbands, he said, love your wife as your own bodies. He said, love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That is one of the greatest examples. The illustration of heavenly love is you should love your wife as Christ loved the church, the body of believers, and what he done for the church and what he is doing for the church this very, very hour. Fathers and husband, wife and family, compare as a bride, as Christ compares his church as a bride. As Jesus Christ says, you are the bride, he is the husband. And guess what? Jesus Christ is always doing something for his bride. You understand, husbands? Jesus Christ is always doing something for his bride. God so loved the world that he gave. He's always giving to his bride. Did he give you anything today? He's given you the breath to breathe this hour. He's given you the health to get out of bed this morning. He's given you everything that you have in your possession. Christ is the giver. He's always giving to his lovely bride. The bride that he loved and gave himself, his own blood for the bride. Sacrificial loving is also that guides our home with this type of love. The sacrificial love guides our home. But not only that, it graces our home in verse 28 and 29. So ought the man to love his wife as his own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. We love our bodies. Everybody in here, you love your bodies. You do everything you can for your bodies. Ladies, the beauty in your appearance. Sometimes even men, they go to these doctors now for plastic surgery, and they go for the lifts. They lift about everything nowadays. They go to the doctors because they want to nourish themselves, and they want to cherish themselves. But you see, the family love, the same way, it needs to be loved and need to be cherished. In these verses, it says, you know what? We must develop love and culture love. As I know that I have failed so many times, as I said, fathers, you too, husbands, today that we have failed in doing what we should. What's the thing really that holds your family together? As I counsel with people going to get married, I ask you now, what's going to keep you two together? And most all the time they say, I love him. And she'll say, or he'll say, I love her and I love him. I say, yeah, but other people tell me the same thing, but they don't stay married very long. And a lot of times, sometimes they've already been married one time. And why did you love your other partner? Yes. Well, what's going to keep this couple together? Love. Listen, God commands the man to love the wife, period. That is command. To love, and we have this responsibility, this command in verse 25, to love your wife. It is the man's responsibility to have the love in the family. The application now of a humanly love. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and 7 it says, likewise you husband dwell within according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Men, we need to learn and understand the needs of our wife. We need to learn and understand. That's what this talking about, this knowledge, the needs of our wife. A poll was taken for several needs of a wife. Her needs is affection, is one of the needs, was at the top. Second was talking, being able to have a conversation. The third thing was honesty with a man in the house. Financial support and commitment. As Jesus Christ said, he loved the church and gave himself for it. As I said, Jesus Christ has been giving for 2,000 years, and he's still giving as you give to your wife. Husbands, fathers, and men this hour, to learn the needs, to be with our wife and the knowledge to learn their needs. As I said, have we failed? Yes, I failed many times. My wife could tell you plenty of my failures. And sir, you have failed many times also of not being able to meet all the needs of your wife, sometime that you could. I know their husband here this day has lost their wife and not with them now. Many things they'd like to be able to say to their wife, and looking back on their life and saying how I should have done this or I should have done that. But it's too late whenever they're gone. Husband the same way. Man's basic need, it said, was sexual fulfillment, recreation, communication, attractive spouse, family commitment. Some very important issues in family that we take for granted every day. Listen, every one of us that's married, every one of us, man and woman today, husband and wife, we have a love bank. And each partner deposits either a withdrawal or either a deposit into that love bank of the other one. Each one of us. Every time a need is met, you deposit into that love bank of your partner. And each time a need is failed and you have not met that need, you take a withdrawal from that love bank. Now, if the withdrawal succeeds the deposit, there'll be unshaky, unhappy marriage. Listen, if the deposit exceeds the withdrawal, there'll be a happy and a healthy family. I hope y'all got that. Agent Rogers said there was a perfect marriage, all except one final flaw. He was quick to deposit, she was faster to withdraw. That may be the truth. Man is to be the one that gives honor unto the wife as to the weaker vessel. Oh, Agent Rogers says again, as days gone past, he's not with us this day. He says, I really do believe that verse of scripture means that the stronger vessel is the weaker vessel because the stronger vessel is weaker because of the weaker vessel. And he loves the weaker vessel so much that the stronger vessel is really the weaker vessel. Can you figure that out? I couldn't. It says that you to honor her. That word honor is to mean that she is a queen not the day, but she's a queen every day. The Bible demands the utmost recognition and respect for the wife and for the mother. This women live today is bringing women down. That's not lifting women up. God is the one that set women free and lifts the women up and mothers up this day. As I done read Peter 3:7, it says, as being heirs together of grace, of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I know that you here today and you've been married for any length of time that you have had some fusses, some little arguments that lasted maybe some time. And it says, you know, that we're to dwell together in grace, that our prayers be not hindered. Well, when me and Joyce gets in a fuss, she'll say, go in there, preacher, and get a sermon. You can't pray when you and your wife is at odds with each other. Did y'all know that? You can't pray. So that's the reason it says about this grace, together in grace, that your prayers be not hindered. Premarital counsel, I do very little of it, but I like to tell them. And I'm telling every one of you this hour to understand this and to listen very careful. When you go to get married, your marriage is like a triangle. Here you are, and here's your future wife, and God is at the top of the triangle. You do not grow together this way. It won't work. But whenever you grow upward, the closer that you get to God, the closer that you get to one another. Your life should be a triangle in your marriage. And as you grow closer to God, husband and wife, you're growing closer to God. Without growing closer to God, you will not grow closer to one another. There's over 6% of divorce today to prove that God's right. To prove that God's right. A man is to love his family. A man is to lead his family. As he leads his family, one of the things they wrote about the decline of the Roman Empire was the diminishing of male leadership, and women was forced to serve in leadership position. I'm going to tell you, we're going down the wrong road in America and lives today whenever men will not be men. It don't matter whether it's in politics. It don't matter if it's in the home. It don't matter if it's in the workplace. God did not never intend for it to be this way. I got something for you mothers. They can nobody raise your children as good as you can. God put that for each mother. Yeah, but you don't know my bills. Well, you made them. You made them. You can raise your children better than anybody else can. Paul says in this leadership position, there's three other more ships that goes along with it. One is lordship. Verse 22 and 24. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives to be their own, be subject to their own husband in everything. Only a person, as a man he's talking about here, under authority of God can be exercise authority. Listen to me, men. Only when you're under authority of God can you be authority of the home. To be the leader of the home as God has called you to be a man of God. There's the lordship, but there is the partnership in verse 30 it says, for we are members of his body, of the flesh, and of his bones. Husband and wife are in business together, and that business together is to make both of them everything that God intended for you to be. King David was one of the greatest kings in all Israel. He led the biggest army and claimed more land for Israel than any other king. King David was a great warrior. King David failed as a father. Most people got time for their business, they got time for their job, they got time for everything else, but they don't have time for their families. They can make decisions about a lot of things, but when it comes down to their family, they fail so many times, as I said, that I know that I did. You think that you got to make a living was my idea all through my life. Until I got saved, I thought I had to make a living. When Christ comes into your life, he lets you know that it's not the living that's important, it's making a life that's important. When you make the life, he promised you a living. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you're trying to work for will be added unto you that you need. It's God's way and it's not man's way. But then you know there's a headship in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. It says now, man is head of the house, not head over the house. God demands and desires that man leads, whether you like it or not. Whenever this design is not followed, there's chaos and confusion because the order of God has been violated. The order of God has been violated in the chaos in the family. 1 Corinthians 11 and 3 says, but I will not have you know that the head of every man is the Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Leadership, protection. It's what it's talking about. Man, you are the protector. I always felt secure when I was growing up when my dad was at home in the house at night. Sometime he had to travel to Florida to find work, and sometime I stayed back on a little farm with my grandmother. You know, I never felt secure. But when my dad was at home, I always felt secure. Because, you see, God's called you to be the protector of your family, sir. But not only that, he has called you to be the provider. Not the woman, not the wife, but the man. You are to be the provider. You are the one to make the directions of that family and to guide them. You're the one to make the decisions in that family. And the decisions that a man should make, that we're going to serve the Lord. As old Joshua said, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to Sunday school. We're going to Wednesday night. We're going to church. He's to love his family. He's to lift his family. To lead his family, but he's to lift his family. He is a spiritual lover. He is a leader and also the lifter of the family. Verse 26 and 27 of Ephesians says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with his washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Talking about Christ to the church and also a man now. Paul speaking the importance of place and purpose of the word of God in your family. That's what he's talking about. Because a family is supposed to grow in the gifts that God has given them. They are grace gifts. And the family is supposed to grow in the gifts that God has given each family to make it a little corner of heaven here on earth. The family is supposed to grow in grace. In chapter 6 and 4 it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but to bring them up in a nurture and admonition of the Lord. The greatest way that men could ever love or lead or lift their family is to help them grow in grace. As men, a church and Sunday school and Wednesday night, and it's a Christ-centered family to help them grow in grace and grow in the gifts of God. Christ loved the church. And it said he lifts the church. Christ loved the church as a father and a husband should love their wife, and he lifted it to the highest spiritual that it could bring it to. And he's still lifting the church. And you fathers and you husbands, to lift your wife and bring her to the higher spiritual relationship that she can have with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not only pray for your family, not only pray for your wife, but you pray with them. And we fathers can lift our family not by sending them to church as so many people do, and not by dropping them off, and not by sending them with their mothers, but taking them to church. Lift them in the things of God. Husbands and daddies, you may not be able to bring your family to Jesus Christ, but I can tell you what you can do. You can bring Jesus Christ to your family. Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, no dialoguing about it. Wives today, could you say that I'm a better person to your husband? I'm a stronger Christian, and I am closer to the Lord for having met you and having married you and living with you. Wives, can you say that? As we get ready to come to the altar, there ought to be some families, there ought to be some mothers and wife, there ought to be some husbands that's coming willing to face their wife and their husband and their families, or just kneeling in prayer and saying, husband and wife, the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life is when God sent you to me and into my life. Can you say that today to your lover? Can you say that to your wife and your family? Can you say that today? The greatest thing has ever happened to me when God allowed you to come into my life. And thank you, God, for this family that you allowed me to have. It is so great to have a family that you have gave me. As we come for a song of invitation, as God opened up the doors of this church. They should be a family altar this day. Any wife, any husband, anybody want to come to this altar, they want to face their lover, and they want to say these words as God has asked you to say them. I'm a better person, Joyce. I'm a better person because God has allowed you to come into my life and make you my wife and my family. Is there a wife can say that to their husband, or their husband can say that to their wife this time, is they want to come and stand. You don't have to say it out loud. If you want to come to this altar, you want to stand right where you at, I'll ask you to stand as we go to this song of invitation.